The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Burt Show.
All right, we got one Burt Show listener that needs some help here because she wants to convince her sister that the dude that her sister is dating is not right for her. You already know how this goes. Like, once you're focused on somebody, it is almost impossible to get anybody to listen to you. But she wants to go in anyway.
Hey, Burt Show, I'm hoping you guys can help me convince my sister her boyfriend is not the one. My sister and I are 4 years apart and we're super close. My sister has found what she thinks is her forever. Let's call him Greg. Greg was my husband's friend and coworker and had just gotten out of a 6-year relationship. My husband and I wanted to play matchmaker, so we set up the meeting and they hit it off. A few months into dating, he got a job offer in Kansas, and she took the leap and went to live with him. She's now been living with Greg for 3 years, and she's a stay-at-home fur mommy. Greg has a good job that pays him very well, so she doesn't really feel the need to work. The problem with Greg is all he does is work. He'll work 15 hours at the office, then come home and works more, eats, then falls asleep. I feel like he does not prioritize my sister and she blames his ADHD brain or that he's an only child, but I just feel like that's an excuse she tells herself. He doesn't buy her flowers on Valentine's Day. He doesn't gift her anything just because I saw this and thought of you. The only reason why they celebrate their anniversary is because she plans everything. He's basically there physically and financially, but not emotionally. And I feel like this is taking a toll on my sister mentally. She's in another state with no family and no friends. We talk on the phone twice a day, every day, and I feel like her anxiety is getting worse. She cannot go to the grocery store alone, much less drive more than 30 minutes without almost having a panic attack. She does, quote unquote, self-medicate, wink, wink, and that seems to help take the edge off sometimes. She's told me she thinks it's unfair for her to tell Greg to move back to Georgia because he loves his job and it was her choice to move in with him. I recently come clean about how I feel about her situation and she was speechless. I know my sister has brought it up to Greg many times about how she's feeling and I wouldn't say he doesn't care. I think he just simply doesn't prioritize her and their relationship. She feels like she can change him and help him figure out a work-life balance, but I think that's just how he's hardwired. They're planning on visiting sometime in September, and would I be an a-hole if I pulled them aside to try and have a heart-to-heart with Greg? I've told her it's her life and she can live it however she wants, but I don't want 5 years to go by and nothing changes, and she regrets the decision she's made because of the potential she sees in him. I love my sister and I want her to live her best authentic life, but I don't feel like she is. We love Greg. Honestly, we do, but some people are not good together, you know? I know the dating scene is hard out there, especially the older you get. What can I say to make her realize she cannot change someone that doesn't see there is a problem?
You've already done what you can do.
Yeah.
You already talked to her, man. That's it.
I mean, I love how committed she is to her sister and she wants the best for her. It's apparent how close they are, talking, you know, twice a day, every day. but your sister's a grown-ass woman. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you have said your piece, and now you need to let her make her own big girl decisions.
It's tough having a sibling and watching them be in a situation that you don't think is the best for them. But at the end of the day, I said it all. There's nothing you can do. You've spoken to her. And if she's in that situation, she is a grown woman. She can get herself out. But if she's in it and she's fine with what it is, or at least she's appearing to be, then you just have to let this go.
And do not, under any circumstance, pull Greg aside and have a heart-to-heart with him behind your sister's back. That is not your relationship to meddle in. If your sister wants to change her life, she's the one that has to change it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that's different with two sisters, but I know as a brother, if one of my sisters did that to my girlfriend or fiance, I would be livid.
Oh, yes.
I would be so upset.
You don't recover from that.
No.
That's it.
Well, it's so frustrating because I've been in this situation multiple times, not necessarily with my brother, but like with friends where you see them in a relationship and you can see from the outside that there is so much more for them outside of this relationship, whether it be with somebody else or with other pursuits in their life. And you just see them kind of sit back and take it. And you wish that they could see things the way that you do. But the problem is when you're in it, it's kind of like being underwater. Like, does a fish know? Like, there's everything else out there too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's one of those things that you've done your due diligence. You've spoken with her about it. You've said your piece. But at the end of the day, it's her life. And she has to choose and make that decision to leave if that's what she's ready for.
Yeah, I think, can we take Anna on line one? Because she has a really good point.
Hey, Anna, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning. I guess my thoughts were, like, why is Greg the identified problem? It sounds like the sister could use a little self-care and maybe start there. Because if she's not working and if she's starting to self-medicate, you know.
Yeah, because
it sounds like Greg might not be the whole issue.
Yeah, because Greg, I think we all agree, Greg is not responsible for her happiness. She is responsible for her own happiness. Yeah, and I know, like, I know it's so much easier said than done.
Totally.
But also, the people in our life can really take a toll on us. Like, I have a friend who is going through a breakup right now. Long story short, she has some substance issues, but she had to go through a week of sobriety for her surgery. And within that week, she realized, oh, this guy actually makes me kind of miserable, and was able to get out of it. So I think sometimes, like, if there's a common denominator of something that's fueling your misery, then you got to cut it out.
The Burt Show.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, Abby. Is it okay to be an a-hole in this specific friendship scenario? Because you're always supposed to be there for your friends.
You're always supposed to be a good friend, but I'm kind of hoping that you're going to green light this one exception because I'm at my wit's end. So I feel like everybody has that one friend that is always in an off again, on again relationship with an ex that just sucks. And I have this friend that I love.
let me, in case she's listening, let me emphasize, I have this friend that I love that has been doing this for years with this girl she's been dating for literally ever. I think they've been together, or they were together, for about 4 or 5 years. And she ended up getting cheated on. So at one point she ended the relationship, and then they got back together, and then she cheated again. They broke up, and then they're working out. And then it was just this constant back and forth of them like trying to figure out if this relationship was going to work for them. And so at first, when she came to me for advice, I really wanted to be supportive, because when it comes to your friends, like, you want to be there for them, and you really want your friends to be happy, and you want to believe the best in people. You want to believe that this ex just made one mistake, and then it becomes just 2 mistakes, and then just 3 mistakes. And you're really hoping that it's going to work out for them, because you can see how badly they want this relationship. But then it gets to a point where every time you're on a phone call with them, there's a new story about something crappy they did, and why they've broken up, and then they're getting back together. And at some point you've seen the damage that this person has done to your friend that you love, and you feel like you can't be supportive, at least from a vocal standpoint. And there's only so many different ways you can tell somebody that somebody's not good for them. And I really thought last time, like, right when she was about to decide whether or not she was going to break up with this person, I sent her this fire TikTok from a relationship coach called Matthew Hussey, who I love. He always is dropping bars. And I really thought, if I can get somebody else to phrase what I'm saying in a different way, it's really going to hit it for her. And this is what I sent her.
Separate how you feel about someone from how someone makes you feel. Those are very different things. I may feel about a person that they are charismatic and adorable and intelligent and wise and fun, but they make me feel, or if they make me feel, lonely and sad and anxious and stressed and questioning my value, that's the reality of my relationship. Mm. So you can think someone is a god, but if they make you feel like you're nothing, that's going to be your experience.
Mic drop, dude.
Literally, I have been following him literally since I was in high school. And I've been using his dating advice at like frat parties. And so when I saw this and it perfectly resonated with my friend, I sent that, and I'm sitting there like, work here is done. She's about to end this relationship that sucks. I get a call from her the next day that we're back together. And I'm just like, God, what more can I do? And right now I'm in a position where I'm just like, I'm getting calls about this ex, and it's not just toxic. It's getting to the point where I'm a little bit worried about her, because they got in a fight and it ended up with her calling the cops, and it was a dangerous situation. And then I thought, well, maybe that'll be the last bit of this relationship. Like, something dangerous had to happen for her to finally end it. And then no, you're getting another call about how they're still back together. And at this point, I just feel like everything I'm saying is falling on deaf ears. Like, you're going to do whatever you want to do, no matter how many times I tell you that this person is bad for you. So my question is, am I a bad friend if I tell her I don't want to hear about this relationship anymore?
No, I think that makes you a very healthy person and actually a good friend.
Well, I'm conflicted for a couple of reasons, because on the one hand, I'm worried if I leave her alone about this relationship, like, something bad is going to happen and she's going to feel like she has nobody to turn to. Because I know other friends have actually drawn a boundary where they're like, you can't come to us about her anymore. And so I feel like she's kind of run to me to be able to vent about what's going on. So then on the other hand, I kind of feel like, because I'm one of the only people listening to it, I'm enabling it. And every time I pick up the phone and give her more advice, it's sort of feeding into this ongoing cycle of her constantly being in this relationship.
It's not your job to take on her burden. And I think it makes you a really good friend that you're there emotionally. I had someone like this in a similar relationship, but it was abusive, and they kept getting back together. And at some point, you have to step back. And I didn't stop talking to her. I didn't let her stop talking about the guy to me, but I stopped giving advice. So it put me in a place where I was like, when inevitably it all explodes again, I will be here. You know, we're not estranged. So I'll be here to help you pick up the pieces. In my head, I'm telling myself this, but I'm not going to continue to give you advice on how to fix it. So what I did is, what I said is, hey, I think I've given you all the advice I can on the relationship. I really don't have another stance. And then I would change the subject.
To go next level on this, we had Lionel Richie in here years ago, and his daughter Nicole was going through a real big problem with drugs and stuff like that. And he was asking the same questions. I've tried to help her over and over and over and over again. She's not taking my money, not taking my advice, keeps going on the drugs. So he actually had to cut his daughter off because it was so painful. So, and he was trying to protect his own mental health, even though it was his daughter. So I think you do have to set those boundaries sometimes, no matter what relationship you're in.
So I think we all have that one friend that kind of does the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different response, and they're just not going to get it. And for my friend, I'm like in the same boat as Cassie. I don't offer advice anymore, but I'm still there for her and I listen to her. And I know how to, if it was every single day that we were talking, that'd be a different story. But it's like once a month and it goes good and then it goes bad and it's very cyclical. But I know in her situation, if she chooses to stay, it's hard. If she chooses to leave, it's also hard because of their dynamic and their life. So there's no judgment there. So I listen with an open, an open heart. For your friend here, if it's constant, then yes, you have to say something for your own sanity. Don't offer her any more advice and just be there when the pieces fall. I mean, that's all you can do.
Yeah, I don't think you're a bad friend at all. I think that's a tough situation to be in, but I actually think you should take the advice that you played. You can apply that to this too, because you see your friend one way. We all do. But the relationship that she's in is making you feel a different way, right? So it's similar.
There's
And I do believe that you are somewhat enabling it if you constantly give your friend that space. So I've always told my friends, I don't want to be a part of your relationship. We don't have the same values. I don't know both sides. I can't really help. You got to let them ride it out, and I'll be there in the end, but I can no longer walk you through this until you walk yourself through it.
Okay, perfect. So be there for her, but stop listening.
The next time she calls, just three-way Mo in and have him say exactly what he just said.
Boom. Paging Mo.
All right, so we might have ourselves a daddy-uncle situation on our hands here.
Oh, a dunkle. Those dreaded dunkles.
So there's a rumor flying around her family right now that her uncle is actually her father. So she's not exactly sure if she wants to find out for sure or not.
Dear Bird Show, I'm in my 20s and I was raised by my mom and dad, who are married and have been since I was 3. There's never been a question about my dad, but recently my extended family has been telling me there's been rumors that my uncle is really my dad. The problem is my uncle passed away a year ago and had never mentioned this to me, but has told everyone else he thought he was my dad. His daughter, which is my cousin and my absolute best friend, came to me and has asked me to do a sibling test to find out the truth. My mom and dad don't know I'm doing this and don't know anything about the rumors in the family. Should I do the DNA test or not? Since my uncle is gone, it makes me feel like he didn't want to know since he never told me.
So it's her sisters that are asking her to do this,
her
right?
Her cousin. Her cousin wants her to do. There's specific tests you can do. My best friend just went through this because there's a woman that popped up in her DMs, and I'm not kidding you, just a couple years ago, and she's like, I'm pretty sure I'm your sister, and they took the DNA test, and sure enough, when you look at it, it can tell you how close you are in DNA, and they definitely, they're sisters.
So would there be any health benefit for the cousin making the request, or she just being kind of nosy and just wants to know?
This is all nosy. This is just nosy. It's just family. So, huh? But that doesn't matter. She wants to know, like, should I do the DNA test or not? Is this something I want to know, whether or not my uncle is actually my dad?
Nope. I would stay away from this one. I mean, it just feels like with the uncle being gone, I mean, you can't really get any answers from him, and he can't defend himself in the situation. The family obviously doesn't want you to know. If they raised me, these two people who I consider my mom and dad since I was 3, and that's all I've ever known in my life, for me personally, I would be good with that, and I wouldn't go shaking that tree up. I wouldn't want to know any more than I know now.
And I'm pissed at the extended family. I don't care if she's in her 20s. She's still the kid in this situation. So, like, you're talking behind mom and dad's back, but you go to the kid and tell the kid this information, like that stuff you go to the parents with, like, hey, everybody in the family's talking about how they think your daughter is not really your daughter, but it's Uncle Bob's over here.
Oh, I would want to know this information. Like if this turns out to be true and my parents really kept this information from me, that my mom was stepping out on my dad and had an affair, you're setting me up for a life of not knowing my complete medical history. You've set me up for a life of trust issues, because what else is everybody else lying about? If it is just a rumor, then you're going to do the DNA test and you're going to find out everything's fine. But if for some reason you do take the DNA test and you find out some information, I've got a lot of questions for my family.
Yeah, you raise some really good points, but in this case, I don't think the truth will set you free. I think the truth is just going to make things so much more complicated. the health issue that you're talking about or the medical reasons, I can understand. But the rest of it, man, especially when he's not around anymore and you can't truly get closure, ooh, I would run.
But you already have access to the health information because he's your uncle. That's your dad's brother. Mm. So it's like it's already in the family.
But there are still things that are specific to different sides of the family. Like if especially if he's not related to you, you know what I mean? Like if he's like if you're more like your dad's side of the family, it might not even matter. But if you were more like your that side of the family, I just think it's so bizarre that you wouldn't want to know. Like you wouldn't want to know who your biological dad was, even though. I don't know. It's something I wouldn't be able to sleep at night with knowing there's a possibility.
What's how much stock you're going to put in rumor? Because mm-hmm. this is like your family talking. And maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe it's not. But somebody comes to me with zero proof and they just like, it's a hunch that like if he would have came to me, the dead uncle, then that's a different story. The other family chirping mm-hmm. and like I've like families that chirp. I'm like, don't get in my head and don't like plant these seeds.
I hear you.
But I would tell my parents so they know what the family's saying behind
yeah,
their back.
Yeah,
I would
do maybe
that.
So.
Yeah, I would do that for sure.
Yep.
But that's as far as I'm going.
And you'd be able to tell by some looks in the face if it's true or not.
Oh, if you sit your mom and dad down and be like, yeah, everybody's saying that Uncle Bob is my real dad. I think instantly you'll be able to tell by
yes.
the. You won't even need to spend time spitting in a cup.
Yes. Nope.
You got your answer right there.
The Burt Show.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one. Download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You know the responsibility that you have as a man or a woman to be a great wingman or a great wingwoman when you guys go out, right? For dudes, it's really not about safety. For dudes, it's like, hey, help your dude get a number, help your dude get laid.
That's it.
Okay. For women, it's more like security, right?
Yes.
Please help me from this guy. I don't trust this guy. He's a creeper. You got to be a good wing woman. Put yourself between the two of these guys, right? And pull your girl away. That's being a good wing woman. So here Mo is all night long working hard for his friend.
That is funny that guys, it's like the complete opposite. Women's objection is extraction,
yep.
like getting her out of there.
Yeah.
And your objection, you know, objective is to get him in there.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing that apparently you left out for both is financial. I didn't realize that you pretty much need a financial department nowadays to be somebody's wingman.
Really?
What?
That's what I said, right? But this has now become like a pattern. And it really came to a head the other day with my guy. So, yes, in my experiences of being a wingman, that is literally all you are supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Show up with your guy, help him. If he's in a situation where he's trying to talk to a young lady, move on with your life. That's it. That's all I am responsible for.
If she is there with another woman, then as a wingman, you kind of come in and occupy the attention of the other woman so your dude can make his move, right?
Right.
Separate.
Two reasons this is awkward for me nowadays. One, in my wingman days, I was always single. So it's a little easier when you're single because there's no boundary, there's no line that you have to draw. You can do whatever you need to do to help your guy out. When you're in a relationship, it's a little different because you can't do but so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of flirting you can do. You got to get up out of there, right? And then you're on your own. The problem with that is my guy doesn't close the deals without offering things that cost money. And usually it's drinks.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the problem has now come in for me as his wingman, and I need y'all as a show to help me decide on if this man owes me money, because I believe he does.
Yes.
All right, set the scene here.
All right, so we're out, and this is like probably a once, maybe twice a month kind of thing at this point, where I get it. My dude was in a relationship for a very long time. Now he's single. He's trying to enjoy his singledom, as I call it, right? And every time we go out, typically someone will catch his eye. The last time we went out, we were sitting in the corner by ourselves, having drinks, doing our thing. There was these two ladies at the bar. One caught his eye. It was obvious. Like, he couldn't stop talking about this woman the entire time.
Okay, quick interjection. I'm so sorry. But if you see him and he picks his target, okay? he picks his target. If she is so far out of his league, do you ever tell him, like, bro, no. Like, you can't snag that.
No.
Really?
No. Never. No, no, no. I would never
really?
Do that. Never. No, no, no.
No.
Because okay. you never know.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You never know, yeah. right? And
everybody's got a type.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some guys bag some women, and I was like, how?
Right. All right.
and you never know.
I find this fascinating, okay?
Nah, never.
No. So we're sitting there, and then I can see he's being a little bit sheepish about it. He orders another round of drinks. So I guess this is him getting his courage up, right? Now, I get it because I think most men don't mind being rejected as long as no one sees it. I think it's a little different mm-hmm. when you get rejected in front of your friends and mm-hmm. you got to make that walk back to the table and you feel like a loser because it just didn't work out and everyone saw you.
Well, then, and if your friends really love you, they're going to give you a tremendous amount of crap once you get back to them.
100%.
When they see it happen. There's going to be a minute or two where you're just going to have to take heat.
And I'm that friend. I'm the friend that will ask you, why are you back here in 30 seconds? Like, how could you have done so bad that you were already back here? So he finally, like, gets the courage. And as soon as he does, they're getting up to leave. Mm. So I go, perfect. So he's like, yeah, it wasn't meant to be. I'm like, no, this is perfect because go over there. If you get rejected, at least they're leaving. So you don't have to sit there and have them stare at you for the next hour yeah. wondering why you bothered them while they were having drinks. So he's like, okay, cool. So I encourage him to get up. And he's like, well, you got to come with me. I'm like, no, I don't. But fine. right? I get up.
Training wheels, man.
Oh, my God. I go with them. Now we're sitting at the bar, and we asked them if we could have their seats since they were leaving. They said yes because they had much better seats than us. So we sit down, and then I'm looking at them like, now's the time.
right.
What are you waiting for?
Let's go.
This is the moment.
We've already kicked them out of their seats.
Right.
Hey, can I have your seats because I'm a man and you're a woman?
so then he's like, hey, before y'all leave, would y'all like another drink? That was his move. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's not a bad move at all. So surprisingly, she goes, sure, why not?
Would you all, how many are we talking about here?
It was two of them.
Okay.
So he gets the round of drinks. Okay. I thought it was going to be a round.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, a round
yeah.
of drinks. Before I know it, jokes start flying, drinks start coming, then ask for another round.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who's supposed to pay for that round? Then ask for another round. So at some point, we sat there for about an hour, and there were like four rounds of drinks.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point they got so comfortable and confident in drinking with us that they started ordering drinks for us.
Oh,
they were like,
okay.
A round for everyone.
Right. Yeah.
So I thought when the check came that we were going to like split this somehow.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Me and my guy now have to cover everything. And each time a round comes, he's saying stuff like, yeah, let's do it. We got it. Another one. And I'm sitting there like, no, DJ Khaled. I don't. I've hit my limits. There's nothing in this for me. I'm a wingman. I'm hot. And then at the end of the night, I think the bill was like $500 and something.
What? What were they drinking?
Doubles. There were shots. There was food. They're eating the food. Yeah,
they were trying to make his dude look good.
Yeah, exactly.
That cost a lot of money.
No,
yeah,
did he get had? Did they realize?
Yes.
Did they realize like we got one on the line and we can sit here and drink and eat for free as long as we're just nice to him?
That's exactly what was
you
happening.
You think? Because sometimes I've been in this situation too where the vibe ends up being so good with the four of us that it almost isn't a, like, hitting on her situation. It's just like the four of us hanging out and having a great time.
Okay, that's fair. It was like that. That's very true. But it wasn't good enough vibe where we was all splitting the bill.
Okay, yeah.
It wasn't that good of a vibe. So at the end of the day, he looked at me like, what, you want to do halves? And I'm like, what I'm going to say? I can't let him down.
This is in front of the women? Or
yes.
Oh, okay.
He didn't wait until if they were gone, it would have been like easier. But no, he's asking me in front of them. So now I don't want to look like that guy.
Right.
So I'm like, yeah. And then when we left, I was like, now you owe me half of my half.
Yeah.
I feel like you owe me half of my half.
Yeah.
And he didn't fight it. He was like,
I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But I still haven't gotten my half. But am I wrong for feeling like...
No, no. Not at all.
No, you're 100%.
Okay.
100%.
Okay, he owes me half of my half.
You worked hard that night.
For nothing.
Very hard that night.
No, he didn't work hard. You didn't work hard. You sat there and drank and ate and had a good time with some strangers, but you definitely got used.
Yeah. For sure. All right, moving on. Catherine here needs some help. She's wondering if she's being the a-hole here because her husband got her something for Christmas, but she wants to return it for something else. Does that make her an a-hole? Hey, Catherine, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
My husband has never been much of a gift giver. You know, at Christmas, he normally shops last minute, buys random things, and it's almost like he just buys things out of obligation and without putting much thought into it. Well, this year, I was shocked when I opened a small box and there were a pair of diamond studded earrings inside. The only other piece of jewelry that I have that he bought me was an engagement ring. Okay, he seemed really excited to give the earrings to me and really proud of them. You know, I was really happy that he cared and put that thought into the purchasing. You know, something really nice for me. However, here's the thing. I don't really wear much jewelry. I hardly ever wear earrings, and my personality and lifestyle just don't really call for diamond earrings. I know he must have spent a good amount of money on the earrings, but it makes sense to me to use the money for other things that I may really want or need. Otherwise, they will just sit in the jewelry box and get very little use. So does it make me a total a-hole to ask my husband if we can either return the earrings or sell them and use the money for something, I don't know, for something I use, like a Dyson would be nice.
I mean, that's your love language.
Oh, boy.
I mean, yeah. His feelings are going to get hurt. Like, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Can we try this, Catherine? Can you just wear the diamond earrings for a full week straight and see how you feel after that?
if it's going to put a smile on his face,
for
yeah,
sure.
Do that.
Mo, how would you feel about that?
To be honest, the ask wouldn't hurt me. If you just did it behind my back, that would hurt me. But the ask of it would actually make me feel bad because I would feel like if that's not who my wife is, then I should have known that. If you're not a jewelry person, I went out my way to get you jewelry, and that's not your love language, and you wanted to return it for something else, I would actually feel like I did the bad thing, and I wouldn't feel bad about it at all.
I'm so clueless, and I think half of men wouldn't even know if you weren't wearing the earrings and you ended up getting something else.
Really?
I think so.
Really? If I bought, I would know if I bought them. I'll be looking for you to wear them.
Is that right?
Yes.
I have a girlfriend who got a really beautiful diamond necklace, and her lifestyle, she doesn't know when to wear it, et cetera, and she hasn't worn it, and her fiance has brought it up multiple times.
Is that right? Really?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, diamonds are expensive.
Yeah.
So I think there's a kind way you can go about this, and I've said this a couple of times on the show before, but when it comes to conversations like this, you can't expect it just to be an easy conversation. But I think if you don't have the conversation now... Yep. He's going to be getting you diamond earrings for the rest of your life.
That's a good
and
point.
Think about how many Dysons you could have bought with all those diamonds. So I think you just go to him and say, listen, this means so much to me. I know how much thought and care and money went into this gift, but I really think we should put this into something practical. And I hope you're okay with me selling these to buy X, Y, and Z.
I'm with Abby. I think you got to sit him down this weekend.
Agreed. Nip it in the butt. Got it. Okay.
I would love to talk to you when we come back and like on Tuesday and tell us how it went, okay?
All right. Sounds good. Thank you guys so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The Bird Show.
It was one of the harder phone calls to listen to that we have taken probably over the last 20 years yesterday.
Yeah, I could not believe this was real life. So we got a call from Vivian yesterday who said with her whole chest that she wanted to tell her father-in-law's new girlfriend that she couldn't be in her wedding photos.
Now, I know what you're thinking. It's perfectly normal for a new girlfriend not to be in pics. What is not normal is her wanting to give the new girlfriend the exact reason why she didn't want her to be in the photos. Because she said, while this woman is, quote, lovely, she is fat and doesn't fit her photo aesthetics.
So we were so confused because it's a very normal thing to not have a new family member in the photos. So why are you going out of your way to ask strangers on the radio advice on how to tell her the exact reason why you don't want her in the pics?
So yesterday when I was thinking about this call, I was wondering if she, and I hate to say this, I wonder if she was verbalizing what some other women think on their wedding day also.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it.
Okay. I mean, it's shocking to hear.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, I don't even want to give her credit for being brave. But I'm wondering if she just volunteered that, but others think it, so they don't invite women that are heavy in their photos for that reason.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we've had brides tell bridesmaids to change their hair color, be upset that they got a haircut, and that's like the least of it all. Of course, they think that you just can't say it because it's not socially acceptable.
I wonder if anybody, well, you know what? Never mind. I'll bring this up at another time. Anyway, so we talked about it yesterday. It was a really uncomfortable call, Kristen. It was very, when people call in, we try to be as polite as we can. I mean, you guys are, you know, you're part of our listening audience. We call you part of our family. But there are some that it's very, very difficult to be nice.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I just felt like I was really holding back while, and Cassie was brutally honest with her, man.
No, and I can't wait to hear what Cassie had to say. But when she said, like, ruin the aesthetic of her pictures, there's so many things inherently wrong with that statement.
It hurts to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It hurts to hear.
For sure.
Yeah, when someone says something like that, it's almost like, I feel so sad for them, but there's so much work to be done. It's almost not even worth explaining it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get why that's problematic, there's just too much to sit down and explain to you and too much work to be done. And that's the job of a therapist, honestly. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about it yesterday, the sadder I got for her, because people don't just have that mentality out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You don't just look at someone and judge them for whether it's like their weight, their skin color, whatever it is. That's learned behavior, which tells me that growing up, she was taught that fat bodies are bad, which means maybe that somebody's come after her body, body shamed her. Maybe she grew up listening to her mom talk detrimentally about her own body. There's somewhere in there, it's coming from a place of fear when you have that kind of hate. And it's, you know, it's interesting hearing people talk about fat bodies, knowing that like my body is some people's worst nightmare to look like me. Mm. And so hearing her say that, I'm like, she is fearful, and that's why she's rejecting it and she hates it, because she doesn't want it part of her life, because somebody at some point has told her it's so bad it will make her unlovable and it's unacceptable. Ugh. And I just feel sorry for her. Mm-hmm. Though she still needs to go to therapy and stop being a douche.
So Cassie mentioned that yesterday, and I think Cassie is a really beautiful communicator when it comes to this issue, all issues, but this issue specifically. You don't just talk about the physical stuff. You talk about how it affects you on the inside. And for those that have never had to deal with those issues, I think Cassie is a really great role model to sort of be a representative for that community. And you said some things yesterday that really touched a lot of people.
Thanks. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I've read a couple of the comments. Most of them were absolutely beautiful. There were a couple that are like, oh, calories in, calories out. You cannot look that way. And I'm like, dude, if it were that easy, if it genuinely were easy like that, or even attainable, do you think most of us would sit here in these bodies? You think I would choose to look like this every single day? I don't hate it, but like my life would be easier if I didn't look like this.
So what is the suggestion that if you just watched your weight, you wouldn't have these problems to deal with?
Essentially.
Aesthetic problems.
Yeah, and I will say that was like two comments, like 1%, not even 1% of all the comments. So I don't want to fixate on it too much, but I think that's a lot of people's mentality when they talk about overweight or fat people. They're just like, oh, well, if you had more self-discipline, if you got to the gym, if you ate less bread. And I'm like, it's just, there's a reason diets fail. There is a reason the diet industry is a multi-billion dollar industry. It's because they don't work the way that you think they should work. Yes, in a closed system, calories in, calories out, first law of thermodynamics. I see that all the time thrown around by people thinking they're science-y. Guess what? The human body's not a closed system, so it doesn't apply. But still, it's like,
this is an issue more about kindness than it
yes.
is about trying to lose healthy and lose weight. Okay, so here we are. We know what the statistics are. This really is more about a conversation about kindness.
Yes, and that's exactly it. And people hide behind the guise of health. Oh, I'm just worried about your health. And then they say hateful things. And so for somebody to look at somebody who weighs more and are like, oh, she's a lovely person, but
She's a lovely person, but I don't want her messing up my photos I'm going to look at for the rest of my life. Well, why that? And so what it comes down to is if you're someone whose appearance has been made fun of, whether or not it's being overweight or some other physical thing on your body, whatever it may be, that's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of the person making fun of you, and they're projecting their insecurities. It's not your job to fix them or lift them up, but it is your job to know that they're the damaged ones and they've got work to do on themselves, and you're just the easiest, closest target to take out their own self-loathing. Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding. So this is, you know, when I'm reading the father-in-law's new part. So this is her groom's dad's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. If I was the groom and my bride made a request like this, it would give me pause as to whether or not I want to marry a
She told us yesterday she has not told anybody about this or these thoughts except us.
Oh.
Yeah, nobody else knows.
That is wise.
Cassie, I was going to read some of these emails, but I think it's probably more powerful coming from you. Do you have the schedule up?
I do. Grayanne Wiseman says, "Hiya, I never contact any show. However, I was listening tonight as I was cooking dinner, and I want to compliment Cassie and her restraint in talking to the lady," in quotes, "who was talking about excluding her father-in-law's newish partner from her wedding photos because of her weight. You were dead right. I hope she never gains weight. My weight has fluctuated through the years, and I would never judge anyone on age, background, weight, or looks. I'm not always as kind to myself, but there's no need to be unkind. Kindness and acceptance are way too underrated in this world. Cassie, you're some woman, and kudos to you. Anyway, Merry Christmas to you and yours from mine in Ireland." I should have read that in an Irish accent. And then from Erin Way, "Hello, I just wanted to praise Cassie for keeping her cool today with the segment with the ignorant woman who wanted to know how to leave her father-in-law's girlfriend out of the pictures because of her weight. I literally almost ran off the road while listening to what this woman had the gall to say, and then listening to her get pissy when everyone told her how awful she is. I think y'all should forward the segment specifically to her fiance so he knows what he's getting into and so he has a chance to reevaluate his decision. Thank you for all you do, Erin."
All right, Cassie. So to wrap this up, if there's one thing that you would want others to know about living in the body that you're living in and how you want to be treated and how their words affect people, what is that?
Respect. So tired of begging for basic respect. And you see it, throwaway comments on the internet, people making fun of weight. Just respect fat people the way you would your friend. And if you wouldn't say it about your friend, don't say it about a stranger.
The Bert Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No